Guaso, bro.
Ay.
There's not a rule that you have to use the three subs.
He's the best left back in Canada, without a doubt.
Special abridged episode of the Third Sub Podcast, episode 204.5, I guess you could say. Of course, naturally, the schedule's been a busy one this week. We got a lot to dive into and dissect, and that, of course, naturally, as per usual, will be on episode 205. There, we'll dive into, you know, the Whitecaps game at LAFC, the game they're about to play in midweek, which we're here to tee up. You know, we'll talk about CPL, we'll talk around MLS, League 1 BC. We got all that planned for 205. But we figured with this unique schedule, we didn't get much of a chance to talk about the Whitecaps midweek match. And that was against the Colorado Rapids this upcoming Wednesday out in Colorado. So that's obviously a big road game for the Whitecaps, looking to bounce back after their 3-0 loss to LAFC. We won't talk about that loss much in this one, maybe, if not just to reference context of potential lineup selections, etc. But other than that, we will dissect it as per usual in episode 205. But yeah, that will, this one for now is 204.5. I'm your co-host Alexander Gongi-Ruzic, joined as always by Sam Aron. And yeah, it's certainly a big one in Colorado for the Whitecaps, kind of bounce back. A bit of a slump, I guess you could say. Three games without a win.
Yeah, exactly. Welcome everyone to the mobile studio. So apologies if the audio isn't quite up to the normal standard, but we're doing it live here. And as Alex mentioned, we're gonna just tee up Colorado for you midweek. Obviously, things moving quickly. And really, Alex, I mean, I think the less said about that drubbing down in LA, the better. That's what I think both Whitecaps and supporters would probably like to just move on from. And really, that was very much the tone post-match, whether it was Ryan Gold or Vanni Sartini. It was like, hey, we took the wrong approach. We know what we did wrong. You know, we're just going to kind of wipe that one, move into midweek against Colorado. And so, yeah, we're going to tee that one up for you. Looking forward to it. This is always, you know, with Cup midweek matches starting in MLS, it's a very busy portion of the schedule. So we'll try to get you ready for this one as quickly as we can. And yeah, looking forward to it as always.
Oh yeah, so lots to dive into. This Colorado team's fascinating. Definitely a fascinating group. We've mentioned it many a time on around MLS in five, but guess kind of just starting from the Whitecaps perspective. Yeah, I mean, the best way I could kind of sum up the game in LA was naive. And I think that's something where they're just going to have to clear that out and restart. And I think if anything, this midweek match is the perfect tonic, because you don't get too much time to dwell on the LAFC loss. It's not right before a break or anything. It's all right. They stayed in LA. They had some chance to soak up some sunshine, get some vibes out in Venice Beach and all that to do. Maybe that's just what they needed of, all right, get those few days of R&R and training in LA, head to Colorado. Because, yeah, this Colorado, it's always a tough place to play. The Whitecaps haven't won there since 2019. So that's obviously something they'll be looking to change in this game. But they're facing a unique challenge in this Rapids side. But yeah, I mean, kind of before we dive into to what to expect from the Rapids, I mean, you know, first off, if you're the Whitecaps, you're wanting to kind of regain your form on the road, before the LA game, of course, 3 wins, 1 draw on the road in 4 games. Now that goes to 3-1-1. You know, Sam, maybe what are some things you'd want to expect from the Whitecaps approach and mentality, in terms of just, you know, focusing on themselves and getting back to what worked for them versus maybe getting a bit too caught up in the matchup, a bit caught up in everything as they did against LA?
Yeah, I think it all stems from I like to think about it through the lens of the transition from 2023 to 2024. We saw too often in 2023 that the Whitecaps, they were ride and die with their approach. And it was like, whatever they showed up to the dance with, that was it, right? Like if it didn't work, they were going to lose. And I've been so impressed for the most part through the beginning of this 2024 season, Vanni Sartini and his staff, they've been realistic about matchups. They've understood what a matchup demands fans, and they've had the answers to those specific requests. And that Magic as LAFC, it felt like the first time where they sort of ignored what the match was asking for and just tried to overrun or dictate terms and create a match that really wasn't possible against an LA team that's so good at home. So I think that's something I'm watching out for midweek, being a little bit sensitive to what the match demands and being realistic about what they can do. You mentioned DSG being a difficult environment. I mean, the altitude, especially for a midweek match, guys have played a lot already. I mean, Ryan Gold went the full 90. Brian White picked up a knock. He went 80 minutes on the weekend. You know, how the squad is managed is something we're going to have to watch out for. So I would like to see, you know, this is not a great sports talk take, but I'd like to see the Whitecaps be a little more pragmatic, be a little more structured, a little more defensive. You probably don't want to be running full tilt for 90 minutes in this one. You want to do just enough to secure the result. And, you know, before we dive into Colorado here, we're looking at what the Rapids have been up to this season. They've been pretty middle of the table in so many respects. So there isn't like a great strength or a great weakness in this Rapids team. And because of that, I think the Whitecaps just need to be patient, you know, wait for those transition moments if they come. And obviously, you know, Vancouver does have the quality to find some goals here on the road and to push for a 3-point result. But unlike LA, I think they're just going to have to be a little more patient waiting for those opportunities.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's important to frame this matchup within who they're up against, where they're up against. Because yes, this Rapids team, it's a bit of a unique one. Just mid is kind of the word I say. And it's a good and a bad thing because they have such an interesting string of results across the board. Like I'm looking, they lost to a struggling San Jose side this past weekend, but then they beat New York City in New York. They narrowly lost to Cincinnati in Cincinnati. Okay, they beat Dallas. They beat San Jose. They drew Inter Miami, and you know how good Inter Miami's been. They beat LAFC, that LAFC team that just beat the Whitecaps. They lost to the Dynamo. They drew the Sounders. They beat RSL in the Derby, and you know how good RSL's been, and we've been singing their praises in recent episodes. They drew Nashville, and they lost to Portland. Like, it's such a varied, like, that's what the thing is. It's the mid stems from the fact that they haven't quite landed on a where they are as a team, because they've had some really exceptional, some fun performances to watch. I've been keeping a close eye on them when I can, you know, through they have a couple of fun young Canadians on their team, Moise Bombito, one of them, definitely someone that we might see a lot of in the national team going forward. So it's been exciting to follow his progress. They also have Kamani Stewart-Baines, you know, the high super draft pick who's been slowly getting minutes. So I've been keeping an eye on the Rapids, and yeah, it really depends on what day you get them. They can struggle with the San Jose, and they, you know, they can beat an RSL. It depends what version of them they show, and combined with the altitude factor, like you mentioned, the Whitecaps have to be careful that if you play the game into the Rapids' hands, for example, the Rapids are averaging 47% possession this year, so they're one of the teams that kind of ebbs on the side of more, all right, they don't mind sitting back, a little more comfortable in that, in terms of their underlying numbers. Slightly better attacking than they are defensively. They're both, you know, just middle of the pack in both. So it shows, okay, you give them a little space to hit you on the counter. They got some weapons. And I mean, you look at their roster, there's some good pieces there. So yeah, I think for the Whitecaps, I like what you said there in terms of respect the opponent, respect the environment, the atmosphere, the altitude, and just gotta get back to kind of doing the strengths of what this Whitecaps team can do. And I think as the road team, as we've kind of seen, they're kind of comfortable when, you know, they let the other team be the aggressor and they let them open up space. And then the Whitecaps press them, defend them, hit them in transition and whatnot. And against this Rapids side, I think there could be some vulnerabilities there if they find that right balance and don't come out too gung-ho, because I think that's kind of what the Rapids will want.
The Rapids are, as you said, so interesting because there's been no, like, strong rhyme or reason to the results. And it kind of feels like, on any given match week, any given the feel of the squad, Zach Steffen in goal, Jordy Mihailovic back, Sam Lines returns to the Rapids, you know, just 100% discovered their identity yet. I think there's some things to be really excited about, obviously. You know, those players I mentioned, obviously high quality MLS performers on their best day. So someone like Moise Dumbuito, who is now a regular starting center back and has some absolutely enticing physical traits. He's chipped in with a couple of goals this season. There's a bit of a threat out of the back of the eyes. Teams have not really been able to break them down. I mean, this was a top five-ish defensive team in MLS up until that most recent matchup in terms of expected numbers. So, short of a Mihajlovic masterclass or, individual error, I do think overall I rate the Whitecaps' ability to relatively limit this Rapids team. And then on the flip side, I mean, as much as Bombido and Maxu have been pretty good at the back, they're not fantastic. And those fullbacks in the back opportunities, whether it's a Fafa Pico or it'll be interesting, does someone like Levante Johnson get a bit of a run? There are going to be those transition moments, I think, that pop available for Vancouver. And there's certainly the possibility that Manny Sartini can get the kind.
Yeah, there's a lot of unique pieces, yeah, on this Rapids team. That's something that definitely stands out. Like across the board, obviously a lot was made of their winning off season. I know a lot of people on MLS were very, like a lot of hat tips there for what they did. And I mean, you look at the recruitment, Zach Steffen in goal, someone who knows MLS. You got the bringing up Mihajlovic in the attack, bringing back Sam Vines and Cole Bassett, guys who know MLS as well. And can compete and be good at this level, complementing guys that are already there. It's been a bit of an interesting project. Someone like Connor Ronan is someone as well that I've liked. He dealt with an injury, but he looks like he's back soon. He's been getting minutes. Like there's some solid pieces across the board on this Rapid side, and that's why it's been interesting because Chris Armas obviously had some huge question marks on his head after how Toronto FC went for him. And to be fair, in hindsight, well, you look back, it's not like he had the most talent to work with at times in that team. And, this was before Insigne Bernadeschi got brought in. It was that awkward transition, between the kind of Pozuelo era and then, it was like the Soteldo, chaos that was on at TFC. And I think, that it showed that, yeah, the Rapids have been solid. I think this is a team that should push for the playoffs, especially I feel like they have some more to give. But it's a growing and it's a learning process. And I think so far, considering where they are, which is, sixth in the West, 5 wins, 3 draws, 4 losses, 20 goals for, 18 goals against, they're pushing on the right track. So, it's something for the Whitecaps. You kind of have to respect those threats. Like Mihajlovic hasn't been himself this year. Like he hasn't been the same dominant force he was at Montreal. So that's something where he'll be looking to kick in and find that level. Someone like Rafael Navarro at the 9, he's a bit of an enigma because I've seen on in Rapid circles, not everyone's sold on him as a striker, but he scores goals. I mean, a lot of them do come from penalties, but he finds the net. Of course, there's the Mercurial Kevin Cabral as well. Like he's someone who's just an XG machine and a chance machine, but he's not great at finishing them, and it becomes the egg of the. Or the chicken or the egg of do you want a guy who generates chances and doesn't finish them, or do you want a guy who doesn't generate chances, but finishes the rare ones he gets? It's always an interesting debate. Bombito's done a lot of heavy lifting at the back. So no, this Rapids team is certainly one worth respecting. And I think the Whitecaps will we'll have to come out and be cognizant of that. But I guess, Sam, maybe before we honestly, I guess dive kind of into lineups and then permutations, are there any players on the Whitecaps? I mean, you might heard, you mentioned Levante there, someone who could come in and help in transition. Are there any other names you're kind of looking at in this game as, players though the Whitecaps might need to lean on? Maybe say a Bjørn Inge Utvik at the back. Are there any other names you're looking at? Like, okay, this is a matchup where I could see them shine.
Well, you just touched on that big one, right? Where after the what we'll call, I guess, like the original back three of Laborda, Blackland, and Veselinovic did not fare so well down in LA. Bjorn, when he's been involved, Alex, you've been mentioning it, the Whitecaps don't get scored on much when he started. So Utvik, certainly one to watch for. I have to imagine he will start. And just seeing how that back line performs will obviously be a point of interest given what happened on the weekend. For me, the other one I was thinking of is central midfield at the moment because Alessandro Schopp, Pedro Vite hasn't been starting a ton recently. He's fast in the middle of the park, but did not perform great in the Canadian Championship. So it does seem like in terms of that box-to-box presence to pair alongside Andras Kubas, there isn't an obvious first choice at the moment. Some people might say, hey, Ali Ahmed is that player. You know, I do like what he provides centrally, but I think that's a point of intrigue. You know, it was a spot where early in the year when Schomp was out wide, Vitae was in the middle, everything seemed to be working. Van Sertien has gone away from that. And I wonder what he sets up with on Wednesday night in Colorado.
Yeah, the midfield is a good point, right? Because like it's the big question of, yeah, you know, you see someone like Pedro Vite continues to bounce in and out the lineup. So consistency there has kind of been a battle. Sebastian Berhalter kind of, you know, it seemed like at least last year, that's what I was kind of, we were talking about the other day, Sam, you know, kind of when we were discussing the LAFC matches between us, like, it was like Berhalter last year, Vanni Sertini might have thrown a Kubas Berhalter double pivot and tried to muck things up, but Berhalter hasn't really had much of that trust. It's kind of been drifting in the doghouse, especially after, you know, against Cavalry, struggled a bit. That likely played into it. Vite as well. Like I just mentioned, Alessandro Schopf is an enigma because he's been in great form at wingback, but then you try to slot him in the midfield, and then you see, oh yeah, the legs. He just seems to be suited to having everything and play in front of him out wide and have that space that playing there provides them. Ralph Priso is still getting up to speed, still doing his onboarding process. That, yeah, like where do you go in the midfield? I think you go Kubas and Vite and stick there, but clearly it's not the same confidence level as it was weeks or months ago, or even last season. In that middle of the park, because yeah, at the back, I think there's going to be some changes. It was just the fact that it was the three most experimented guys and they're just making routine conceptual errors. Meanwhile, Bjorn Ingutvik looks like he's been playing in this system for years. I think you kind of got to give him the due for the work he's been doing and get him some minutes and make him a regular fixture in that back three, because he just seems like a leader back there in terms of his performances and what he's brought. Because yeah, those are the two questions. I mean, wing back, you know, with Sam Adekubi kind of recuperating, I imagine it'll probably be pretty straightforward. I mean, we could kind of talk about it in the predicted 11s. I mean, up front, it's going to be pretty straightforward in the sense that, you know, if White's good to go, we see White, Gold, and Pico. If not, Johnson gets a start. Maybe he can stretch out the game. But yeah, I guess kind of on that note, since we kind of tipped into lineup discussion territory, Sam, I'll just start with you first in this one. What are you expecting in terms of projected 11? I know last game we both went a bit more pragmatic in our approach and in the projected 11. I think looking back, I would have been very happy to see some of the lineups we put out, which had like Schopf at wing back or Brown starting as, or Luis Martinez starting as more of a defensive wing back. Benny went aggressive and maybe it kind of caught up to him in the end. But do you think he goes for that pragmatic approach this time around?
I think there has to be some kind of reaction to what happened on the weekend. This isn't an LAFC recap, but you know what? Shout out to Luis Martins, who is, I thought, quite good, despite the fact that the match was already out of the balance when he came in. It was nice to see him back playing again and playing well. So maybe he's an option. Yeah, let's dive into projected starting 11. Yohei Takaoka in goal. I don't think there's much debate about that. Bomer's going to get the next Canadian Championship match. So that's kind of penciled in. As we were talking about, you're going to see Bjorn Inge Utvik back in there for sure. I think I don't necessarily agree with it, but I'm imagining it's Matias Laborda who filters out. I think they'll maybe go back to Ranko Veselinovic in the middle and then Blackman and Utvik flanking him. Now, this is an interesting one. You know, what do you do with the midfield four? Ali Ahmed, to give him credit, I think has been in really good form, despite the fact the Whitecaps have been a little bit patchy. So certainly I'd put him in the lineup. As we were saying, Vite and Kubas in that double pivot. And then, yeah, I think you throw Schott back out wide. I would really like to see that, personally, at least. I do think maybe Martins is a shout as well, something to think about a little bit. And then up front, as you mentioned, you know, I think if White is good to go, then fantastic. If not, Levante up front and Pico and Ryan Gold underneath. That's yeah, no massive surprises. I mean, you don't have Demir Krylak available. Sam Adekubi still in recovery, so that does limit your options a little bit there. I just can't see a Berhalter or a Priso starting at the moment. And, you know, Giuseppe Bovolina is probably not ready for an MLS start just yet. So I don't know how many choices there really are, Alex, in this lineup outside of someone like Levante up front.
Yeah, I think the tweaks will probably be minimal. I think in terms of some of that side, I think Takoka's in goal. That's the easy one. I think at the back, that I'd agree that maybe based on what we saw, that if we're being completely reactionary, maybe with the Laborda Blackman Utvik debate again, not to take away some of our material from episode 205. Let's just say a lot of Laborda, because Laborda obviously made some very obvious aggressive mistakes that you see, but then also when you're watching it again, the conceptual side of zonal defending, some of the little things, Ranko and Blackman also made some quiet errors that added up, and especially given those two guys' position as the experienced guys in the system, guys who know the system, it was a bit more surprising to see. With Laborda, like you mentioned, it can be good when harnessed properly. It can also be bad that sometimes he can be a bit aggressive and want to step out of that zonal system to be a bit more swashbuckling, which out wide might not be as demanded as, say, in the middle of a three. And plus, Laborda played in midweek against Cavalry, whereas Blackman and Ranko are arrested. So I think because of all those factors, it goes Blackman, Ranko, and Utvik in this game. At wingback, I think you see Ahmed Shop. I think they, you know, you kind of see Shop's legs. You see what happened. I think putting him back out wide. And I think you go Vite Kubas. I could also again see Martin slot and Ahmed on the right, but I think we probably see something like the Shop Ahmed wingbacks. Because I think that kind of, we kind of saw a glimpse of it in the LAFC game after the subs. The subs kind of made the game a bit weird. We saw things shift around. And then up front, I think, yeah, I'll go Gald, Pico, and Johnson, just because maybe they save White. There's a big Seattle game on the weekend, also on the road. But also, I mean, if he's good to go, White usually doesn't. He's not one to miss much time for injuries, so I could also see White slotting in.
Yeah, I feel like up front, if White is good for that 60 minutes, you're hoping if you're Vanni Sartini, you get a goal out of him and then sub him off. That would be ideal, but that just, I think, is purely dependent on how he's feeling physically. So no major disagreements for us there in terms of lineup. We'll see how it goes, what Vanni Sartini elects to field on Wednesday night. Okay, Alex, I'll dive right into my prediction. I'm going to say the Whitecaps get back on the board, build a little bit of momentum, but I don't know if it's a full 3 points. I just feel like this is a lot to get right midweek. I think, you know, they're obviously going to be pushing for that matchup on Sunday, or no, is it Saturday? I can't remember, but on the weekend
Saturday,
down in Seattle. So I do feel like naturally a little bit of focus is going to be on that. So I think I'm going to go 1-1 draw here between these two sides. I feel like the Whitecaps will be in it. They'll play some better football, certainly than we saw on the weekend, but I'm not sure if it's going to be quite enough to get 3 points.
Yeah, I think that's, I'm kind of, yeah, leaning towards, it's tough. I'd say draw or even just loss with the altitude, the short turnaround. I think this team, though, mentally, they're strong. They know how to bounce back. I'd say something along the lines of, yeah, like it's a 2-2 draw, like something chaotic, like maybe the altitude kind of makes for some chaotic moments. The Whitecaps get on the board and make up for the fact that, hey, they haven't scored in two games. Before the Austin game, they were the only team in MLS to score in every game. Now they've been shut out in back-to-back. So I think they'll want to get on the board, and they, against this chaotic Rapids team, maybe they find that and then, but also defensively, just the altitude fatigue, maybe, the Rapids find two. So it's a bit of a chaotic prediction, but I think this Whitecaps team bounce back and I go 2-2, but generally, if they go out and win this game, we'll mention on episode 205, if they do go out and win and we're breaking down a Caps win over Colorado, again, it's a sign of the mentality of this team that they flushed the LAFC result, got a big win on the road, and put themselves in a good position heading into a massive derby rematch against a Seattle team that will be very hungry after winning a derby match of their own this past weekend. So definitely something to keep an eye on all fronts.
Exactly. I mean, there are natural ebbs and flows throughout the season in this league. The Whitecaps, to their credit, have, done a good job of not getting too high or too low. So I feel like they've been through a little bit of a dip, and really they've not been at their top levels the last bounce back here and build a little bit of momentum. But it'll be an interesting one. And Alex, any final thoughts here before we sign off?
Yeah, no, it was definitely an interesting game. Definitely, that's a big one for the Whitecaps. Sense that, yeah, they've gone three without a win. Like this is something where if you want to be a top team, this is something where if you get a 3 points here, yeah, it's a big ask. But all of a sudden, you push right back into the top three because they've dropped to fourth with this sort of mini slump. If they lose the Rapids path, then LA likely passes them. They drop to seventh, eighth. This is a chance to kind of get the hot start back on track. And I think this would be a good way to show that mentality and get after it. So I'm very curious to see their response. I think they'll certainly be one. And yeah, this Rapids team will provide an interesting challenge. So I think we'll learn a lot of, as per usual, in these early games, especially ones against teams like Colorado. Or, at the end of the day, based on how Colorado's projecting, well, this is if the Whitecaps want to be a top team, this is one we're not where the Whitecaps should comfortably win, because I think Colorado's a good outfit, but show some of that experience that Colorado might not have with a younger team, a lot of new signings, new coach. The Whitecaps, they're supposed to be a bit more of a finished product. Show that experience, show that bounce back that, okay, LAFC got the better of you. You were a bit naive. You admitted it. Flush it out. Get after it. So definitely one to watch. We're excited to break it down in episode 205. But I guess on that note, you can find me on Twitter at Alex Gongaruzic, and on Blue Sky, as well as Threads, Instagram at AGR on the case. We'll be back, again, episode 205. Looking forward to breaking down the games. Certainly a lot of interesting stuff in the LA game, and I imagine this Colorado game will be no different. And will be a pleasure to be back. And yeah, appreciate everyone, tuning in and joining us for this abridged episode. Hopefully Sam's audio ended up working out. We were on the go, but we wanted to get this done because last week we weren't able to get a Canadian Championship preview with it being on a Tuesday. And it's always fun to kind of dissect and break down where we think these games will go. And yeah, just looking forward to it. So Sam, I'll throw it to you.
Yeah, I think that's a big match for Vanni Sartini too, to just kind of get his mojo back and get back on track, because I do think a large part of that LAFC result does fall on the manager, and he's been good for the most part this season. So that was a bit of a letdown. Looking forward to diving in again later in the week. Hopefully we can kind of ignore that LAFC result and just talk about what hopefully was a very entertaining match in Colorado. You can find me, as always, at Samuel_Rowboat on Twitter at thethirdsub.ca, where we'll have all your pre and post-match coverage as per usual. We also had some League One BC, some CPL content this week, so if you want to catch up on what happened, would encourage you to check that out as well. Thanks for listening, everyone, and we'll chat again soon.